it's okay. It's okay. But if you want to speed them up, you can then cut them again in half again, you know, so you have like little wedges.
Oh.
But that doesn't matter. Toss them with olive oil. Give them some coarse salt, if you've got coarse salt.
I do.
And pepper. Have you got any fresh herbs around?
Fresh herbs. I have rosemary.
That would be a couple of branches. How many pounds of Brussels sprouts have you
three.
Got? Oh, boy. Okay. Three. I would do three nice branches of rosemary thrown in there. Do you have an orange around?
I do.
Oh, gosh. That would be fabulous. Grate some of the orange zest into it. I would do some chopped up onion. All right. So for 3 pounds, I do a nice size medium onion and I'd cut it in a dice because that's going to roast up. It's going to be so delicious. Do you have any black olives around the house?
No, I don't like olives.
Oh, OK. All right. No, no. Okay. You should never cook with anything you don't like.
Right. How about nuts? Like I have hazelnuts.
Those could go in toward the end.
Okay.
You don't want to burn them because this is what I'm going to tell you to do. I think you preheat your oven to 450. You want a big shallow pan or a couple of smaller shallow pans.
Okay.
And I like to slip them in the oven while it's preheating so they get really hot.
Okay.
And then you want to lightly coat the Brussels sprouts with the oil, strip off the leaves from the – you can put in the whole branches of rosemary if you want. Uh-huh. Or you can just, you know, zip off the leaves and toss them. You grate the zest for 3 pounds, I'd say the zest of one orange into it, okay? And you want the salt and pepper. If you're going to add garlic, add it later. Add it halfway through.
Because it burns, right?
Yeah, it burns, and you don't want it burned. And then I would toss the onion in there. And I'm just trying to think, you know what might be interesting?
Tell me.
Two drained canned tomatoes that you squish with your hands and you toss in.
Wow.
And have you got any balsamic vinegar?
I do.
You've got, all right, you're going to put a couple of tablespoons of balsamic. And now you toss that together, get that pan really hot, and just spread it out in a pan. Use a spatula, you know, a wooden spatula or what, a spoon or whatever. Spread them out, roast them at 400, 45 minutes to an hour, turn them a couple of times, and maybe 15 minutes before they're done. Because you want them to be caramelized.
Mm-hmm.
If it looks like they're burning, obviously turn down your oven. You want them to be tender. You want them to be lightly browned, nicely browned, and you want them to taste fabulous. But add those nuts like 5 minutes before you're done.
Oh.
If you're adding the garlic, add that about 20 minutes before you're done.
Okay. How about I have a balsamic vinegar reduction. What do you call it?
What I would do with it? I wouldn't put it in to roast with it. I would sprinkle that, drizzle that over it at the end. And let it sit because that's going to absorb those flavors.
Okay.
Yes, if you've got that reduction is great. That's like having money in the bank.
Okay.
They are going to love your Brussels sprouts.
Excellent. And I have some teenagers who like Brussels sprouts. I don't want Brussels sprouts.
So this
might spike it up a little bit.
I think they are going to become converts.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Enjoy.
Excuse me. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. I have to tell you, you know, I think we malign these babies so much. It's like okra. You know, it's things that people don't like to eat. Call us 800-537-5252. This is the day that anything goes. Emergencies, success stories, great tales, anything. Go to the website, splendidtable.org. Now, we've got Nicole on the phone from Cincinnati. Nicole, what's up? What's your question? Or
Hi.
Your tale?
Well, I have this. It's just two of us. And
right.
I have this Jenny O turkey breast that's basted. And I have no idea what to do with it. I'm hearing your callers talking about brining. And
I know. Doesn't it sound like this has got to be rocket science, right?
I'm all intimidated.
Don't be intimidated. You know, what's that line? You go, step back from the stove. No, seriously. It's really, really basic. Is it bone in or is it boned?
Yeah, no, the bone's in.
The bone is in.
Yeah.
Okay. Generally, the way you roast is by thickness. You know, when you hear people talk about X amount of minutes per pound?
Right.
Now, turkey breast is really lean. So even though this is a Jennie-O, you know, it's going to have moisture in it because they've brined it for you. What you want to do is I would do it low and slow. So 325, how many pounds is it?
Seven, almost eight.
8 pounds.
Like,
all right. Okay. I would figure probably with the turkey breast, I would figure maybe 15 minutes to the pound at most, 13 to 15 minutes to the pound.
Okay.
Turn on your oven a half hour before you put it in. Okay. And one of the things that you can do is you can run your fingers between the meat and the skin. Start at one end, and you can have a mixture that you can do in a food processor, or you can just do it on a cutting board. Soft butter, garlic, and whatever herbs you like, and salt and pepper, all right? Light on the salt, because there's salt already in the meat.
Right.
And you can slip that under the skin, because it's just going to make it taste better, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Put it in a roasting pan, a shallow pan. As I said, 13 to 15 minutes to the pound, and allow about 20 minutes for it to rest. So if you figure out how many pounds you have, how many minutes to the pound, and then tack 20 minutes onto that, that's when you'll eat.
Okay. Now, what about this turning upside down thing? So the breast
don't worry about it, because you've got a breast. You've got a breast. You'll just put it bone side down, and you'll cook it really slow. You'll baste it with pan juices. I always put it in the oven, let it go for about 20 minutes, and then I pour a little white wine or red wine over it. And if you don't have any, yeah, if you have the wine, it'd be great. It'd be great.
Okay.
And then baste it with the pan juices.
Okay.
And it'll be delicious. It's going to be fabulous.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You're going to be an expert. Take care, girl.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Bye. Call 800-537-5252. By the way, I have to mention this because I think we've got some bloggers out there with a death wish. And I just want to make sure nobody's following these directions. There's one celebrity blog where the secret turkey recipe for this year is that you put the bird in a 140-degree oven for 4 hours. And then you flip the heat up to 450 for a half hour to get it browned. This is a recipe for sending the entire family to the emergency room. Okay, just a rule of thumb. Lowest the oven ever should go with a bird is 325. All right? 140, that's how ptomaine begins. We had another wonderful site that talked about taking the dark meat of the turkey and putting it in a vacuum bag and cooking it for, I think, 10 hours at 140 or 160. This is another recipe for disaster. So just remember, minimum temperature, 325, and you're going to be home free. Okay, we've got Matt calling from Norfolk, Virginia. Matt, what's up?
Hey, just a quick question about that pecan pie.
Yeah.
My grandmother used to make a wonderful pecan pie. She also did something called a brown sugar pie, which was
that's an old recipe. The brown sugar
pie. I really prefer that old style kind of custard center with the pecans on top. And recently, everybody does these chucked full of nuts.
Yeah.
Chocolate bourbon pecan pies. What can I do, because I don't have my grandmother's recipes, to get that more kind of custard filling with just the pecans on top, as opposed to this chock full of nuts?
The basic custard filling is essentially eggs, cream, flavoring, or eggs, milk, and flavoring. And depending on what you've got in the house right now, have you got any cream in the house?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that. Of course. Of course I have cream in the house. Okay. Generally, you want to do about, let's say, because you want this to really set up nicely and be firm, I would do, what size pie crust would you have? What size pie?
8 or 9 inch.
8 or 9 inch. Okay, I'm thinking.
I do my own. I like to do a little cinnamon and sugar, not too sweet.
Yeah,
just a little hint.
Oh, yeah. You're a man after my own heart.
Too bland.
Yeah, no, that sounds wonderful. Okay, this is what you want. You want about 4 eggs, 1.5 cups of cream.
Mm-hmm.
All right, beat the eggs, then work in the cream.
Mm-hmm.
You want the zest of half a lemon.
Yeah,
grated nutmeg. And some vanilla.
And then
you want to mix into that about 1/2 cup of sugar.
Uh-huh.
All right. And then you're going to bake that at about 350, no more.
Right.
All right. And
no, that's involved yet.
Right. And I lightly pre-bake the pie crust first, just lightly.
Right.
Yeah, because you want to have it so that it's not going to get super soggy. And then I would mix together the corn syrup and the a bit of butter and the pecans. And you put that over it, and then you finish baking it for another 10 minutes or so. But the way you know the custard is done is that when you put a knife into it about an inch in from the center, it comes out clean.
Comes duck wane, right?
Yeah, and then you let it cool completely, and it will finish cooking at the center.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I also have a very quick vegetarian recipe if you have time for it. It's
sure.
It's simple. It's great for holidays. It's mostly root vegetables. I like to use carrots, sweet potatoes, rutabagas.
Oh, this sounds great.
Yeah, parsnips, even beets. And I kind of brown them off in a skillet.
Yeah.
Oil and salt and pepper. And then take that and throw it into a dish, a little more olive oil, and add my squashes like butternut and acorn squashes.
Right.
Finish that off, and the natural sweetnesses just bake out, and it's absolutely phenomenal. It's super simple. If you want to get a little fancy and they like it a little sweeter,
yeah.
Do a little crushed chipotle pepper and a drizzle a little honey on it. But normally, you don't even need to do that. It's just so fantastic and simple. Great vegetarian dish to pass on.
That sounds fabulous. Thank you.
Thanks
you know,
so
it's,
much.
It's
this
that kind
my
of thing.
Favorite show of the year. I love your show. It's my favorite show of the year.
You know what? I have to confess, I think it's ours too.
All right. Thanks so much, Lynn. I really appreciate
it. Hey, you take care
it.
And have a good one.
You too. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Turkey Confidential. We're the Splendid Table Crew. Okay. Well, we have got our own personal wine deity waiting in the wings, Joshua Wesson. Now, Joshua is the senior director of wine, beer, and spirits at the Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company. Josh, happy Thanksgiving.
It's an honor to be with you.
How are you?
I am so good. I just came from a little Thanksgiving breakfast at Per Se. I live in New York City, and Per Se is a wonderful restaurant in the Time Warner Center, and it overlooks Central Park South, where the floats turn to...
Josh, I'm sorry. You are talking, first of all, about one of the finest restaurants in the world. You are talking about the Thanksgiving Day Parade, right?
Yes.
Yes, and having a first-hand seat. I don't want to hear anymore.
Well, here's the great... I will have to torture you a little bit. Thomas Keller, who's just simply one of the greatest chefs in the free world, maybe in the entire world,
yeah, right.
He turns his restaurant into a magnificent IHOP. On Thanksgiving morning.
You're kidding.
He has all of his friends bring all of their kids, and the place is just romper room with Per Se food. And all no matter where you go in the restaurant, whether you're in the kitchen or in the bar or in the front room or
right.
the room, you have these little stations where you could go and have these breakfast buffet items. But when Thomas Keller does waffles, they're gossamer clouds of butter and flour held together by, you know, deliciousness. It's just, it was such an insanely delicious experience for me. This is the first time that I've been invited, but I ingratiated myself to the point where I think I'll be asked back. And of course, everybody was drinking wine at 9 a.m. So for me,
this is right down your alley.
It was perfect.
This is right down your alley. All right, now that we're all drooling, we plebes here would like to. Now, I want to ask you something because, you know, the typical thing that happens at everybody's house is happening at ours this year. The whole gang is coming for Thanksgiving, and we're pulling out wine glasses we haven't used in months, and they're dirty. Well, you know, they get the grease and the whatever. You're the wine expert. How are you supposed to wash a wine glass?
Well, I don't know. I may not be so expert because when I go to my ancestral home in New Jersey, where I'm headed in a few hours, I have to pull all those glasses out of the back parts of the cupboard and wash them myself because no matter what I tell my mother, every year they just benefit from neglect and dust. And,
right.
And sometimes if you're in a house where they haven't even used them in the past year, they have this kind of white residue. You can barely see through them. You could scratch your initials on the side like you're part of some culinary gang, you know, putting your tag on there. And this happens to everyone. I mean, there isn't a house in this country that doesn't have a whole raft of glasses, by the way, which don't match one another in size or shape.
Well, that's the other thing. I don't know that but we'll get to that in a minute.
And and there is a little secret way to get rid of that stuff. If you have all of this, you know, mineral deposit and dust and you know, white film of neglect on your glasses, what I do is create a water bath with a little bit of vinegar in it, and I dip the glasses into the water bath, and that saves me from scrubbing them for minutes and minutes to try to get the stuff off. And then I take some benign soap like Ivory. And I have another little, you know, bath of that. I really just take a sort of a pot and fill it up with a little bit of water and soap.
Right.
And then I rinse the vinegar off in the water and soap solution. Then I just give it a quick rinse in the sink, and then and stick it in the dishwasher and run the dishwasher without any soap. And that clears everything. And you end up with these beautiful, crystal clear, pristine glasses that have no hint of abuse or neglect. And they don't smell like anything.
Right.
So they're perfect for wine. And that's my little secret.
That's great. Okay, this is easy. That way the wine fanatics are not going to be saying, I can smell soap suds in your wine.
Right. You know, they're always, you know, I've never been to a Thanksgiving where there wasn't some person saying that they could smell soap in the wine glass. I mean, it's just...
There are two people, and they're sent all over the country.
Well, you know,
They show up at everybody's Thanksgiving to ruin it for them. I know this.
When this happens to me, because I know that I wash those glasses without any soap, I sort of give them the old hairy eyeball and then tell them that, and then they shrink away. It's kind of like when you go to a fancy pants dinner, and somebody is pouring a really nice wine, but it happens to be out of a screw cap, and they sell, and the people at the dinner swear that the wine is corked until you produce the screw cap and you say, I don't think so.
See, you can get away with murder, though, because you walk around with that silver sommelier thing on the chain, and I can't pull that off. I just can't.
Oh, you mean my sippy cup that
your
I wear
sippy
around
cup.
My neck.
Yes, your sippy cup.
Well, you know, I actually hang that up at events like Thanksgiving because I don't want to intimidate anybody. I want everyone around me who is interested in trying wine with, you know, the riot of flavors on Thanksgiving tables to experiment and play and enjoy wine, because there's really no better holiday to start sipping and eating than Thanksgiving, because everyone's doing it. It's the one holiday of the year in the country where everyone is sitting down at a table and enjoying something good to eat.
Well, you know, that's the perfect segue. Would you like to take some calls?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Hey, well, we've got Melinda waiting patiently. She's in New York. Melinda?
Hello.
You have a two-for-one here.
Oh, great. First, I have to say I'm a huge fan of the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you.
So I have some pretty enthusiastic champagne fans in my family. So I'm curious, can you tell me how well champagne goes with kind of the traditional Thanksgiving dinner?
Absolutely. Well, champagne, and you're probably speaking about a dry champagne, I suspect.
Yes.
What would be called a brut champagne. Dry, sparkling wine is just a wonderful, it's sort of a universal antidote for a lot of things that come on Thanksgiving. And, you know, we're all snowflakes at Thanksgiving. No two family tables are set with the exact same foods. So rather than, you know, try to match a specific wine to specific dishes, it's good to have a couple of wines that go with a lot of different things. And the reason why champagne is such a brilliant choice on your part is that it's a very refreshing drink because of its scrubbing bubbles and its relatively low alcohol. It's just a delicious palate-cleansing glass of wine. And when you think about it, no matter whose table you're at Thanksgiving, you're going to have a lot of different tastes on the plate, and a lot of those tastes have salt. And the saltiness can build up over, you know, four or five forkfuls, and you want to have something that's refreshing. In fact, when you have wines that are not refreshing and happen to be pretty high in alcohol, and by that I mean anything over about 13.5%, you can actually have a clash where the salt in the food and the alcohol in the wine hit one another head on, and you produce a set of burning sensations that really aren't particularly pleasant. So I think your choice is a very, very smart one. It can easily make peace and cleanse the palate very easily with all of these different foods on your table.
Well, and also, you know, those scrubbing bubbles, as you probably know, Melinda, don't necessarily have to have the label on them champagne. For those of us who appreciate cheap dates, there's the cavas and the proseccos and the cremants. And you know, if it has bubbles and it tastes decent, it achieves the same thing in the meal.
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, I mean, all bubbles aren't champagne. And especially at Thanksgiving, when you've got a lot of people at the table, maybe you don't want to spend a lot of money on wine because you've got to produce a lot of bottles. You never want to run out of wine like you never want to run out of food.
Right,
so
sure.
If you default to Prosecco, which comes from Italy, or you get a cava from Spain or a sparkling wine from California that costs half or a third as much as a bottle of champagne, then you can buy three times as many bottles, and you never run out. And I just want to give a big shout-out to another refreshing beverage that people don't talk about all that much during Thanksgiving, but beer, which is one of the beverages that no doubt the pilgrims were drinking hundreds of years ago, happens to be great at cleansing the palate, and it's low in alcohol. If it's not, you know, a massive Trappist Belgian beer, and beer is a beautiful complement to a lot of the food that we eat at Thanksgiving. So, here's to beer.
Great idea.
To you.
Hey, Melinda, thanks for a great question.
Thank you.
You take care and have a great one.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Josh, we've got an email. Someone wants to know if there's red wine in the gravy. Can they drink white wine at the meal?
Oh, that's such a great question, because the quick answer is absolutely. And the reason behind that answer, absolutely, is that when you put red wine into a dish and you're cooking it down and the water evaporates and the alcohol evaporates, and you end up with a little bit of the flavoring of the wine, but nothing else besides the flavoring. And that flavoring usually gets incorporated into a lot of other ingredients that are in whatever you're making, whether it's a sauce
right.
or a roast. And,
yeah.
and it's so far removed from the wine that you started with that it allows you to put a wide array of different kinds of wines on the table. I did this experiment a few years ago where I tried the wine, a red wine, a coq au vin, you know, mm-hmm. sort of a stewed chicken, with the wine that I cooked with, I served, and then I tried about 10 other wines. And I'd say, and half of those wines were white.
Right.
Almost all the other wines, because they were selected to go with that coq au vin, went beautifully with it. Some picked up the onions, and some picked up the carrots, and some flattered the dark meat, and some flattered the light meat. But there was no intrinsic connection between color and what I was enjoying in a glass.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're describing is we need 15 wines at the table each part of the dish.
At Thanksgiving, I think one of the most amusing and delightful and delicious things you can do is open a couple of different wines and maybe a different beer or two, and then let people decide for themselves what they want to try. That's white, red, sparkling, medium-bodied, full-bodied. Let people play. Because it's that kind of holiday.
It's a great way to use all those odd bottles you've got, too.
Absolutely. Well, they match all the odd glasses. I mean,
that's right.
There's a hierarchy to glasses. Because let's face it, not many people, even if they have wine glasses, have 30 or 40 pieces of stemware in their cupboard. So it kind of begs the question, what do you default to after you run out of wine glasses? And I made a little list here. If you don't mind, I'd like to share it with
sure,
you.
Sure,
go ahead.
Sort of
my little hierarchy.
Sure.
Okay, so you start out with the nice stemware.
Right.
And then you default to the not-so-nice stemware that people gave you over the course of your life. And then you end up with things that don't have stems, like I think highball glasses are particularly nice.
Okay.
And then you go down to juice glasses. And from there, it's just a short tumble to Flintstones glasses.
And, I love it.
And I discovered something.
Josh, I want to get one more call in. We've got someone who's been waiting patiently.
Okay, we'll take that call, but I just want to tell you, with red wines, Fred, with white wines, Wilma. Okay?
Oh, okay. All right, you're on. We've got Mark calling from St. Paul. Mark, what's up?
Hi, Lynn. I'm used to making a cranberry relish right off of the fresh cranberry package.
Right.
And it comes with, sugar in it, and I'm trying to use a little bit less processed sugar these days. I was thinking of two possibilities. One with actually some type of wine, either red or white,
uh-huh.
and another with some fresh lime juice.
Is there a wine that goes with cranberries, Josh?
Absolutely. And it depends on whether, if you want to amp up the sweetness, then you could take a red wine that has some sweetness in it already, like a vintage character port or a Banyuls or a sparkling Shiraz would be interesting. But if you want to move away from the sweetness and still flatter the cranberries, then you want to look for something that's a little bit bitter, a little bit tart, and a little bit fruity, and there's a whole raft of red wines that taste like that, but the one that comes to mind that happens to be a wine that people love to serve with a lot of other things at Thanksgiving is Beaujolais. Not Beaujolais Nouveau, but the real deal, Beaujolais and Beaujolais Village. Great. And I've cooked with that, and I've actually made some fruit compotes with it, and it turns out beautifully.
Wonderful. All
Josh,
right.
I am so sorry. Josh, we're out of time. Thanks for the call. Have a great Thanksgiving. And Josh, thanks for being with us, and I hope it's a great holiday.
Have a lovely Thanksgiving, too.
You too, sweetie. Josh Wesson is Senior Director of Wine, Beer, and Spirits at the Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company, and he's a regular on the Splendid Table. Now, we're going to get back to your calls in a moment, and we're going to take a little poetic license with Garrison Keillor. I'm Lynn Rossetto Casper. You're listening to a special Thanksgiving broadcast, Turkey Confidential, from American Public Media.
Are you going on Thanksgiving Day to those family celebrations, passing on knowledge down through the years at the gathering of generations? Every year it's the same routine, all over, all over. Come on over, it's Thanksgiving Day. Papa looks over at the small gathering, remembering days gone by, smiles at the children as he watches them play, and wishes his wife was still by side. She would always cook dinner.
Hi, it's Lynn Rossetto Casper with Turkey Confidential from the Splendid Table and American Public Media. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We've Thanksgiving triage for cooks and non-cooks across the nation today. Now call us, 800-537-5252, or join our live chat at splendidtable.org. Now, we'll be heading back to your calls in a moment. The number is 800-537-5252, or online at splendidtable.org. But right now, we've been joined by a fellow public radio comrade, Garrison Keillor. Garrison, happy Thanksgiving.
And a very happy Thanksgiving to you and to all of yours, whoever they may be.
Thank you. You know, the last time we talked, I remember you had a plan, and it was to discard the turkey for Thanksgiving and have the new symbol be the salmon. How has that worked out?
Well, it never quite works out, but you keep moving on. We move on. I'm sorry you had to remember that. I've forgotten all about it. No, you make terrible mistakes Thanksgiving when you delve into cookbooks. We're not meant to do those things. You know, I made a strange dressing once that had pecans and I think it had chestnuts and ham. I remember it had Kentucky bourbon in it. And, it was just anything that would come in a little box, you know, would be better.
Well, I'm thinking along another line.
Yes.
You've got a new book out, and it's 77 sonnets. You never hear about people writing sonnets anymore.
Well, it's to keep us away from the kitchen. It's to keep us out of trouble. You know, you get involved in a cookbook, and you know, you get a little beef brisket, and you start tossing wild rice in there, and
all kinds of problems happen.
Oh, you just get in over your head. So you sit down and you go back to the tried and the true, and that's 14 lines rhymed as Shakespeare did. The sonnet. I don't know what the equivalent in the culinary arts would be.
I'm not sure, but there are equivalents, no doubt. The beautifully written recipe, which, for instance, Julia Child was the master of. But could you read us one or two? Something you think might be appropriate for the holiday?
You made crusty bread rolls filled with chunks of brie and minced garlic drizzled with olive oil, and baked them until the brie was bubbly, and we ate them lovingly, our legs coiled together under the table, and salmon with dill and lemon and whole wheat couscous, baked with garlic and fresh ginger, and a hill of green beans and carrots roasted with honey and tofu. It was beautiful. The candles, the linen, the silver, the snow falling on our northern street. Me with my hand on your leg, you, my lover, in your jeans and green T-shirt and beautiful bare feet. How simple life is. We buy a fish, we are fed, we sit close to each other, we talk, and then we go to bed.
What's that called, Garrison?
It's called supper. I should have called it food as the basis of love. Or
no, I like supper.
Okay.
I like supper.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got the salmon in there.
Yeah, you did. You did. And I have to say, no offense to anyone I'm about to share this holiday with, but this sounds like a very attractive alternative.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. Well,
so
I'll consider
what
that.
Are you do you have everyone over today, or are you going out?
Well, I will have people over. I don't know any way around it. One has obligations. Left to my own devices, I probably would go for the New York Thanksgiving.
Which is?
You lie in bed and you eat Chinese food out of little white paper cartons. And you're watching the Classics Channel on TV. And at some point in the afternoon, you call up your relatives back in Minnesota. And you say, yeah, the turkey was good. And the dressing was fine. And the pecan pie, you know, the crust came out really well.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
now we're going to evening service. And then you say goodbye and you reach for your dessert.
And
profiteroles or something.
And for the remote control.
Yeah, right.
Could you leave us with one more sonnet?
Well, this is for when you have company over. And there's a poem called Table Grace. Here we sit as evening falls, like old horses in their stalls. Thank you, Father, that you bless us with food and an address and the comfort of your hand in this great and blessed land. Look around at each dear face. Keep each one in your good grace. We think of those who went before and wish we could have loved them more. Grant to us a cheerful heart, knowing we must soon depart to that far land to be with them. And now let's eat, praise God, amen. 14 lines.
14 lines.
It's really all you need.
Yeah, something perhaps certain writers should recall, don't you think? Garrison, thank you for this, and happy Thanksgiving.
And to you, too.
Those sonnets, by the way, are from Garrison's book, 77 Love Sonnets. Okay, back to work. The lines are full, but the number is 800-537-5252. This is Turkey Confidential. And we have Ernesto on the line from Miami. Ernesto, hi, what do you want to talk about?
Hey, hi, how are you? Actually, I want to share a very unique way that we have here in South Florida, especially Cuban families, to cook the turkey.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Oh, yes. First, we cook two turkeys, one the traditional American way with the regular stuffing, which we love. And the second one, we do it to what we call the Cuban style.
Uh-huh.
And by Cuban style, what we do is we cook, you are familiar with moros, the mix of black beans or rice?
Oh, yes, yes.
So pretty much we cook the moros and we use... We add olives, we add peppers, we add raisins, and instead of stuffing the turkey with the regular stuffing, then we stuff it with this, and it comes up delicious. And we usually, you know, do both, one the regular way and one this Cuban way. By the way, I've been here for a couple of years already in this great country, and Thanksgiving is just such a great holiday. For us, family is very important, and this is just another pretext for, you know, 40 or 50 people getting together to only increase amount for New Year.
Exactly.
And
it's
just amazing. And what we're doing, as I said, we kind of like, maybe not every year, but we have this unique way. And it's not, you know, unique to my family. You know, several families actually do it. And it's just an enjoyable holiday and a different way to kind of like mix the American, you know, culture on this great holiday with the kind of like the roots and the things that we left back home. It's just it's a mix of culture and bringing things together that I really enjoy.
You know, though, the idea though of the turkey stuff with the black beans and the whole idea of what you're talking about how we, you know, we're all immigrants in this country. Unless our ancestry is Native American, every single one of us comes from a family that originally came from someplace else. And what you're talking about is really, I think, what Thanksgiving's all about. You know, we bring our own traditions. I always did, and my family always did, because my family's an Italian, essentially an Italian Thanksgiving with all the dishes that we loved, with the turkey done the way we would do capon, which is the more traditional dish. And your black beans, which, by the way, sound utterly delicious inside.
I promise that I will get the best of our recipes because we have some variations, and I will email it to you.
Will you please? Oh, that would be wonderful.
For sure. And the second thing, I wanted to share actually a Thanksgiving tale. A very good friend of mine had just moved to a new house.
Yeah.
And he wanted to surprise his wife and family with a meal. And he woke up very early to cook the turkey, get everything ready.
Right.
As I said, he had just moved to this new house. And he was not very familiar with the oven. By mistake, with the turkey inside, he locked the oven and almost saw how the turkey burned while it was in cleaning mode. But fortunately, you know, they didn't have to call, you know, the 911. But it was just funny and something that he will remember forever.
I don't think he'll ever hit that lever or whatever it is again.
No, and it was a new house, and I think that it was like misplaced. And he hit the wrong button, but it was funny. But
I shouldn't laugh. I feel very bad for him. But it's a classic story, isn't it? I mean, what more could go wrong? Oh, dear. Have a wonderful holiday and welcome to the traditions.
the same to you. Thank you.
Take care, Ernesto. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I think it's really interesting, though, to think about how we all really do celebrate between trying the new recipes and having the things that have always been tradition for us. I don't know if there is a typical Thanksgiving anymore here. Maybe there really never was because we've always been this great mix. Well, we've got Shelley waiting patiently. She's calling from Columbus. Shelley, what's up?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome.
I'm afraid I'm burning my turkey. It's getting really brown.
Did you hit the wrong button on the oven, and is it in clean mode?
I don't know. Well, here's what I did. I did start it out at 400.
Yeah.
But then I've turned it down, and now I have it down to 350. And I heard you say earlier that you should never go below 325.
No, you shouldn't, really. It's just safer that way. But, all right, tell me this. Is it getting very brown? Is it burning?
It's very brown. It's not burning yet.
Okay, take some foil, shiny side down, and just loosely put it over the turkey. Don't tuck it in or anything. And that's going to protect it from browning anymore. Did you marinate it or did you do anything with it that includes anything that was sweet?
I have apples in the cavity.
I'm just talking about anything on the skin because the apples.
No, I have olive oil and lemon juice.
Sounds fabulous.
The actual bird, yeah.
Sometimes it just browns fast, and especially when you've got a big turkey that you've got to leave in for a long time. The foil's going
right, to yeah.
The foil's going to save you.
18-pound bird. It also is fresh. It was never frozen.
Yeah, and don't worry. The foil will save you. You're home free, and also know you can flip it over, too, so that you want to brown it evenly on all sides anyway.
I was thinking about that. So just maybe turn it over for the last hour?
Yeah, yeah. How much more time does it have to go?
An hour.
all right, this is what I do. Take it out of the oven. Don't try to do it while it's on the rack, okay?
Yes.
Take oven mitts. You're going to throw them in the wash after this, but you need oven mitts, okay? Grab that turkey, put it in a place where it's really safe, you know, around the counter, in its pan, and then take it, lift it, and gently just turn it over and baste it with some of the pan juices, put it back in the oven, and let it brown on the other side.
All right, and that's a great idea.
You're going to have a fabulous turkey.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome. Have a good one.
You too. Bye.
Take care. That business about browning fast, if you've used, like, you know, you've used a marinade with any sweetness in it, like maple syrup or whatever, then it also can brown fast. But that's where the old tinfoil comes in. Call us, 800-537-5252, or join the chat on the website. Leave us an email, splendidtable.org, and send us your photos. Let us see what's happening in your kitchen right now. Okay, we've got Christy calling from Fairfield, Vermont. Christy, what is happening for you?
I'm doing an appetizer for stuffed mushrooms for a mostly gluten-free and vegetarian group.
Right.
Usually I don't have enough stuffing to stuff the mushrooms, and I'm just wondering what you suggest. I have made, like, gluten-free stuffing that I haven't added fruit, so I wanted your suggestion on some good stuffings to stuff in with the stems and all the Parmesan and that. And maybe, are fruits and nuts appropriate? I have
idea. Oh, yeah, especially dried fruit. Have you got any dried fruit in the house, like raisins or?
Cranberries. I've had a request for no raisins.
No raisins. Okay. Are the cranberries craisins? Are they the dried cranberries?
They're dried cranberries, yes.
Okay. Mixing those in with a stuffing where you've sautéed the mushroom stems with a little onion and garlic and Parmesan.
Yes.
You know, stir in the Parmesan, not in the sauté pan, obviously. It's going to burn. And you mix in some of those dried cranberries. That would be utterly wonderful.
Really? Okay. Is it okay? I mean, should I process it or should I?
No, because taste the dried cranberries. Usually they always have a little bit of sugar because a dried cranberry is really tart.
Okay.
And that's going to be fine. It's going to be just great. But now what you'll do is you'll add the Parmigiano, the Parmesan cheese, to kind of balance it. So it's savory and it has a little hint of sweetness.
Okay. Yeah, it's fresh, so I'm going to grate into it.
And if you have to bulk it out, never neglect the power of the sauteed onion.
Okay. Do you think it'd be too much to add some of the stuffing? I haven't added fruit to the stuffing, so.
Sure, you could add some of the stuffing. Okay, that would be a great idea to add some of the stuffing.
I'm just trying to think of some ideas. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you are welcome.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And you too.
All right, thanks.
Take care. We have, let's see now, next is Varsha calling from Dallas. Varsha.
Hey, Lynn.
Hi.
Hey, Lynn, I was listening to your show, and I'm a big fan of yours.
Well, thank you.
And welcome. And I wanted to share, like, people calling from, even from England, that they celebrate Thanksgiving. I think this festival is, like, about giving thanks to each other, about family and all, of course. But I'm an Indian, and I came to this country about 9 years ago. I want to thank this country and the people for accepting us and giving us a fabulous opportunity of growing and making our dreams come true. And we definitely celebrate Thanksgiving with our friends. We never knew anything about this, but we are now making it our family tradition. And one of my friends with whom I'm going to celebrate tonight, she's my childhood friend. We grew up together and graduated together. And today we are going to celebrate Thanksgiving, and we always try to make it the American way because we want to be a part of this country. And this is a way of saying thanks to this country for accepting us.
Varsha, right now, the people in the control room are trying very hard to not cry. And so am I, because... Well, I'm worried. It sounds like you're driving, and I don't want you to...
No, my husband's driving.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I can't tell you. Thank you very, very much for that. I know you're not thanking us personally, but it's such a tremendous statement about all the great things about being here. And it's pretty swell. But quite frankly... go ahead. Go ahead.
I want to share recipes of leftover turkeys, you know, what to do with all the food, large amount of food that is left over. What we try to do is make all those chutneys and spreads, and we just toast some bread, put the meat on it, and just eat them along with all those relishes that we cooked the previous day.
Oh, and that's also wonderful.
Yeah, and I also make a fried rice or a biryani out of the turkey, leftover turkey, and it turns out fabulous.
It's, how do you spice your fried rice?
I make it like onions.
Yeah.
I just saute some onions and garlic and ginger. And I marinate the turkey for about 15, 20 minutes with lemon juice and a little bit of yogurt and any kind of a curry mix or a biryani mix. And then just throw it around. And whatever roasted vegetables are left over from the previous day, just throw it around with pre-boiled brown rice or white rice. And it turns out fabulous.
You know what? What I'm planning to do, because everybody's coming to our house today, I'm going to steal a big chunk of the turkey and hide it in the refrigerator first thing, and that's what I'm going to make tomorrow. It sounds
fun. Another tip is when you cook the rice, don't cook it in water. Cook it in chicken broth.
Sounds pretty swell.
Cool.
Varsha, thank you. And may
welcome.
It be a wonderful holiday for you and your friends and your family.
Thank you very much, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Oh, thank you. Okay. That was our Hallmark moment. That was really wonderful. Call us, guys, 800-537-5252. You know, really, it kind of reminds you of what it's really supposed to be about. And it's not about how much money we've spent or whatever. It's about the fact that we're all together. 800-537-5252. Online. You can chat and you can send us an email, splendidtable.org. Julie's on the phone from Memphis. Julie, what do you want to talk about?
Hi, Lynn. Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we travel from Memphis to Boone, North Carolina each year to go to my grandmother's, and we all make different dishes, and one of my dishes is mashed potatoes.
Right.
And I wanted to find out, how can I make mashed potatoes the night before and then heat them up to where they don't taste, you know, like plastic?
Okay. Now, how do you normally make your mashed potatoes?
Normally with milk and roasted garlic mashed in.
Right.
And, you know, lots of butter.
That sounds fabulous. Okay, what you would do is you'd put it in a shallow casserole, all right?
Mm-hmm.
You dot some butter on top of it, uh-huh, cover it with saran wrap or foil or whatever, put it in the fridge. The next day, let it sit out for about an hour to get it up to room temperature, and then you put it in the oven. You know, when the turkey comes out, or if you have another oven, you want to reheat it at around 350, 375. It could even be as high as 400 because you can crisp the top. All that butter melts,
mm-hmm,
and it makes it really crisp. The key to the mashed potatoes is don't beat them up, you know, when you're making them, because that gets them gummy.
Okay.
You know, crush them. And you can keep crushing them until they're very smooth. I personally like them lumpy. I just call them crushed potatoes. And that way I can have them as lumpy as I want. But you can reheat them, and they're going to be delicious. And they get that crusty brown potato on the top, which,
mm-hmm,
is really delicious. And everybody's going to love them.
That sounds really good.
Yeah,
I'm really
easy.
Ready to get there and eat now.
yeah, I realize, you know, you can put this off for the next time you want to have them for a dinner party or something. But really, I'm one of those do-ahead people, because mashing potatoes at the last minute always ends up for me, either they're cold or, mm-hmm, you know, they're a mess. And I'd much rather get it done ahead and stick it in the fridge.
That's great, Lynn. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks. You too.
You take care.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Call us, 800-537-5252. We've got an email from Jack in Louisville. He wants to know about bourbon in his gravy. Okay, here's the trick. Whenever you add wine or spirits to a gravy, you want to boil it down almost to nothing first. You want to get rid of most of the alcohol. So, for instance, what I do is I'll take the pan drippings from the gravy, from the turkey. I'll spoon off a lot of the fat. And then in that pan, I will, before I put anything in the pan, I'll put in the bourbon or the brandy or the wine, and I'll boil it down to absolutely nothing. And at the same time, I'm going to be scraping up all the brown bits from the bottom of the pan. Then you can add the broth. And by the way, if you want to do it in layers, for instance, do the hard liquor first, get all the alcohol off, then do the wine, boil that down to nothing, okay? You'll get all this great layered flavor. And then add your broth and continue making the gravy. Thanks for the email, Jack, and have a great holiday. We have Joey calling from Memphis. Joey, what's up?
Well, I have about 10 or 12 people coming over today, and a friend of mine works at Ducks Unlimited and was getting me ducks, and I thought he was getting whole ducks.
Yeah.
I thought I was getting four whole ducks, and instead I got six pairs of duck breasts, each with the wing still on it for identification.
Whoa. Oh, are they bone-in?
Yes.
This sounds fabulous.
But I don't know what to do with them now.
Oh, well, I guess that is a problem. Okay, let's talk about what we can do with them. No, because there's a couple of ways you could go with this. With the bone-in, I think I would do a very classic method, which is a slow roast on them. What time do you want to eat?
8 o'clock tonight.
Oh, you've got plenty of time. Okay, here's, you know, the first thing to do, I think, which might be fun, is how thick are they, more or less?
They're about an inch thick or so.
Okay.
Maybe a little more.
Okay, why don't you do this? This might be kind of fun. Why don't you do a light brine on them, just for maybe an hour or two at most?
Okay.
So this is what you want to do. You take a third of a cup of salt. You take a third of a cup of sugar. Have you got garlic in the house? Okay, a whole head of garlic if you can do it. Throw that in the food processor so that the garlic gets all. Don't worry about the skin because you're never going to eat this. Okay? And then what you want to do is add about 4 to 5 cups, maybe 6 cups of water to that.
Okay.
On second thought, 8 cups of water. All right? And then just put that in the refrigerator. Make sure it's very cold. Slip those duck breasts in there. And if you need more liquid, add it. And let them sit there just for no more than an hour or two. You don't need any more, okay? Because you don't want them pickled. Take them out, pat them dry, all right? Lay them out in a shallow pan so that they're not really on top of each other. Before you put them in the pan, put a layer of coarsely chopped garlic and some onion in that pan. It can be thick sliced. This is just going to add flavor.
Okay, sure.
What kind of wine have you got in the house? Red, white?
I've got a couple of reds, I think.
Pick a cheap one that tastes good.
Okay.
Okay. All right. You're going to have the oven at about 400. You're going to put the duck breasts in. Let it go for 20 minutes. Flip the oven down to 325. And then what you want to do is cook them real slow until they're 165 degrees at their center, basting them with the wine.
Okay.
And the pan juices. And you are going to be in business.
That's
okay?
Really awesome. Thank you.
I think you're going to have a great one. Have a good one. We have time for one more fast question. Laura in Florida is on the phone. Laura.
Hi, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. We have to be fast, unfortunately. What's
this
your question?
This is a quick turkey Titanic story.
Okay.
My parents were newlyweds and decided to host their first Thanksgiving and scraped and borrowed to get the turkey.
Right.
And Great Aunt Dora from another country decided she wanted to be the one to contribute the carving of the turkey. So she hushed everybody out of the kitchen and a few minutes later proudly walked out with the turkey that she had very neatly cut into quarters and presented on a beautiful platter. So they had a quartered, non-carved turkey to present for their Thanksgiving meal.
You know, the best intentions. That's what it's all about.
And thankfully family, not someone that you could want to go out and hurt. But
don't you think there's a great point here? I mean, I hate to sound like Pollyanna, but I think the real point is it's really not that important because, look, you're still telling the story.
Right.
And we don't remember the picture book moments. Which is,
exactly. And which many generations later, we're still telling that story and over a Thanksgiving meal. So it's a good thing.
And we've got exactly the same kind of stories. Those are the ones that live forever. May it be a great Thanksgiving for you.
And to you as well. Many blessings.
Thank you. I'm Lynn Rossetto Casper. You're listening to Turkey Confidential live from American Public Media. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
American Public Media.